This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, three gentlemen who have a hand in War Eagle Days that takes place June 3rd and 4th in Huntsville. From my left around the table, John Two Hawks.
It's good to be here.
Thank you, John. A Grammy-nominated musician who has a flute with him, so yes. I assume that later.
You got it.
All right, perfect. Emmy Award winner, Larry Foley, who co-produced the movie.
That's right. Bridge to War Eagle.
Along with Dale. Carpenter.
Dale Carpenter.
And then we have Robert Swain, who has helped organize.
Actually helped conceive and tried to bail out several times.
Let's talk about War Eagle Days. It's an event that, I guess at its heart, Robert, is designed to let people know the importance of War Eagle.
It's always been my belief. When we talk rivers and maintaining rivers, it always takes an agricultural turn. You know, what the farmers are doing to the streams. And we don't see much of that to the degree they used to. What we see now, if you go to a large city and talk to people that were there 70 years ago, they talk about these beautiful streams, and you look and they're just concrete containers for drain water for the streets. They were forgotten. And that's the thing, looking ahead, that I see as the thing that is our job. That is a mission that we have, is our generation now, generations to come, that they don't forget about these streams.
And this event is next weekend.
It's the 3rd and the 4th.
Okay. And what are you doing to help make sure, like you said, that other generations don't forget about the importance?
Well, up to this point, we've done everything we can to get people on the river. This year, the fifth year, we were very blessed to have a documentary about the War Eagle Dine, and Dale Carpenter and Larry Foley. It is something that people have to see. I've been to two of the screenings. It absolutely, people walk out of there nearly weeping about what a resource that we have.
Well, now that you've brought that up, Larry, let me ask you, because people know As the Buffalo Flows, mm-hmm. the award-winning documentary did. The buffalo is very well-known nationally.
Right.
The war eagle is not as well-known.
Right.
But there are bluffs along it that are, I'm not going to get into favorite rivers or waterways, but are very beautiful. What are some of the stories you tell in that documentary?
Well, Kyle, Bridge to War Eagle is actually a complementary film to The Buffalo Flows. The buffalo and the big piney and the white and the kings and
Mulberry.
Eagle Creek, Mulberry, all fall off the same mountaintop. And that's, of course, where our story begins. It actually begins at the mill, and then we kind of go into that. But The Buffalo is a story of a protected river, nation's first national river, and the story of what we protected. The War Eagle is a story about an unprotected stream that flows into the water supply for all of Northwest Arkansas. And of course, you know my work enough to know that there are stories. And there's a story of the War Eagle Bridge and the War Eagle Mill. There's the story of Rufus Stevens and his family cabin, which is where his dad taught him to fly fish and where he taught his son to fly fish. Rufus has lost his son and his father, and now he goes and sort of carries their memory with him to their very special place. It's the story of Robert Swain here, our pal, the Pick King, who is a War Eagle steward and who is involved as much as anybody in conservation of War Eagle Creek, and it is a conservation film. There's the story of Ron Duncan, who's an Arkansas Game and Fish Commissioner, who was a teacher for many years in the Springdale school system, who started the Hooked on Fishing program in a junior high civics project that grew into a national program. And certainly a little bit about the War Eagle Crass Fair the story of the water supply, that about a third of the water supply that feeds Beaver Lake is War Eagle Creek. So those are a few of the stories, and we are telling people that it is a complementary film to The Buffalo Flows.
Now, there's a lot of stories that you're telling in there. What originally attracted you to War Eagle as a subject?
Well, I was on my way to Monticello, Arkansas, when a friend of mine, Ellen Fennell of Audubon, Arkansas, called me up and said, "Love The Buffalo Flows. Would you be interested in doing a story about War Eagle Creek?" And, of course, the first question I had was, maybe, but what is the story, or what are the stories? And she began telling me about Rufus Stevens, whose son had been murdered in some horrible random event in Texas. And they had started this foundation to memorialize Rufus Stevens Jr., who was about to begin a conservation career following in his father's footsteps. And we began talking on the phone, and I immediately thought of this iconic image that is War Eagle Bridge leading to the grist mill. And while we were talking, I said, you know, there is probably no more iconic scene in all of Arkansas than War Eagle Bridge and Mill. And I thought, that's an interesting way that we can frame the entire story. Now, one of the things that I've noticed, and y'all have probably noticed the same thing, is when you go over to the mill, invariably there are people taking photographs of it, and lots of times artists painting portraits of that mill. And when I began doing my preliminary research, David Pryor told me that the first date he ever had with Barbara is he picked her up from her home on Mount Sequoia, and they drove over to War Eagle, and they walked across the bridge together. And my friend Richard Davies in Parks and Tourism, he's director of Parks and Tourism and one of the funders of the film, and he told me that he asked his wife to marry him on War Eagle Bridge. So I thought, you know, it would be interesting, because you've seen all these artist renderings, and I thought it would be interesting to kind of tie an artist in who's painting a portrait. So a guy whose work I appreciated from afar for a long time is an artist from Fort Smith named John Bell. And I knew of John's work, and because there's a portrait of the depot in Van Buren that hangs above my folks' fireplace in their Fort Smith home. My grandfather was a railroad man. And so I saw that John was going to have an exhibition of his work at the library, John Bell being a U of A grad. And I went over there, and I think I might have remembered that John had some kind of a disability. But I didn't learn until later that John doesn't actually paint with his hands, and I won't tip off the whole story. But I went and talked with John and his wife Maxine, just lovely, lovely people, and pitched the idea about what would you think about painting a picture of the bridge leading to the mill. And John said, well, you know, I've painted a picture of the mill with the bridge in the background. I think I might like that. So we tied John and Maxine in as they're at the beginning stages taking photographs there, and we sort of used that whole story to frame the story that we call Bridge to War Eagle. Now, John said something very funny, I think, at the screening that we had at the Fort Smith Library, is he said, you know, the whole time that I did this, that people don't know, is that I had to pretend to be a handicapped artist. And his work is revealed at the end of the film, and we just think it turned out. I told John, I said, you know, I think these things up from time to time, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. In this particular case, it worked out exactly the way that I hoped it would. And it works out because John and Maxine are so sweet, and John's comments are so relevant, and his image as it reveals itself in the end of the film is just perfect.
So many stories with War Eagle, and Friday night, people who come to War Eagle Days on the Huntsville Square will hear perhaps the original, the first story that's associated with War Eagle. And John, you'll be telling that story, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I will. And I think it's important whenever we're kind of paying tribute and honoring and giving thought to these places that we live, to go back and really honor those stories and the history of the land. And of course, inevitably, the history of all this land here in North America is indelibly tied to the Native American people who have called this place home for tens of thousands of years. And so the original stories that come with War Eagle are, of course, Native American. And so this is an old place, and it's a place that for indigenous people held a special place in the heart of Native people. And so there is an old story, and I'm not going to give that away here either.
No, you don't want. No.
But there is an old story that's kind of interesting, because it's about a young man and a woman that he was in love with, and what happened to her, and then what inevitably happened to him because of that. And it's interesting because that story isn't very well known, and I think it should be. It's not, you don't see it all the time in print. As a matter of fact, when I first became acquainted with War Eagle, and I began to ask, because, of course, when I heard the name War Eagle, I said, well, now, come on, this has got to be some kind of a Native American origin. And so, boy, it was amazing how many people didn't know. And so after a lot of digging, a lot of asking, I was fortunate enough to find some very reliable sources and discover what actually was the story behind the name War Eagle and where it came from. And so it's an incredible story. And what's interesting is a few generations later, when some European people began to come into the area, there was a family that lived here that has a similar story. That actually has to do with a man and his wife and how much he loved her and what happened to her and then what happened to him because of that. And it was very similar. And so it's kind of like, in a way, a cycle. And there's this kind of connection between the people and those they love and this place we call War Eagle now. And so it's I'm honored to have been asked to come and to participate and to offer, in a way, the Native American voice to this story, and to be able to share that with people on the evening that we're going to be doing showing the documentary, and sharing my music as a part of that as well. So I'm really honored to be able to be included in that. I think it's important too that again, whenever there are stories of history in this country being told, that we begin with the Native American part of that story, because I think it's it goes without saying that if you don't begin there, you're missing a very important part of the history of the land and the people who have called these places home.
The film, the story, and your performance are all Friday night. Is that right, Robert?
They'll be Friday night. And I promise that anyone that is sitting there will sit there for some time when it ends, just trying to get it all in their heart. I mean, it will leave you that way.
John Two Hawks, you have a flute in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Can you?
Yeah. I want to, before I play a little bit on the flute, I want to also say that, you know, it's important that, you know, as I said earlier, it's important that we tell the Native American stories that go with the places that we're telling the history of and honoring. And having said that, it's also important to understand that it's a human story. And all of us feel these connections to this land, you know, we all do. And up to the present day, you know, and so it's, we're all, in a way, Native. You see what I mean? To this land, we're connected to it, and that ground, it really is a part of us. And so I admire folks like Larry, who can do a documentary that tell a story about water, about where that water comes from, mm-hmm. about the mountaintop that it rolls off from, and about the people who live there by it, and how that place actually gets into you. We live in a world that's so separated from the natural environment that we really are part of. You know, we're connected to the earth and the fire and the water and the wind. We're made of that stuff. And so when we can touch it and get close to the actual sources of it, we find our own balance. We find our own identity, really. And so it's really, to do stories, to tell stories like this with film and with music and with stories are, I think, a very important part of the human experience. And so I'm going to be playing my my wind instruments
outside.
Outside, yeah. And so we're gonna ask the wind spirits to be kind to us that day and give us decent weather and so that everyone can come out and everyone can take part in this and experience this. So it's going to be a real honor to be able to see this documentary kind of unveiled in a way to the people there. And then right after that, I'm going to be doing my own musical performance, which also comes with video as well. So it's going to be kind of a nice segue and a nice, I think, a real powerful way to tell the story of War Eagle. So I'm going to share a little bit on one of my flutes here for you to kind of give people a little taste of what to expect.
you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I was watching mostly your hands, but I was also watching Larry Foley's eyes watch your hands. You're always something of a filmmaker, right?
Well, it's some kind of psychological malady, I guess. You know, it's like going to the movies, I'm thinking about how they put it together.
So let's see. It's War Eagle Days, and that's the 3rd and 4th. That's a Friday and Saturday.
Right.
John Two Walks, you'll perform?
Absolutely.
Friday night?
Friday night, yes.
And it's going to be quite a performance.
Yeah, I'll be doing, actually, before the video, I'll be doing actually a talk where I kind of tell the story, the Native American story, if you will, of War Eagle. Then there'll be the documentary, which I believe is about a half an hour. Is that correct?
26 minutes and 44 seconds.
Well, looking like a man who spent time in the editing.
That's right. That's right. I knew he'd have the answer to that. And then after that is when I do my actual concert performance.
All right.
And we ask that everybody bring a lawn chair, the most comfortable lawn chair they own. Mm-hmm. So that guarantees you a front row seat if you get there quick enough on Friday evening.
If people want to know more?
The Chamber of Commerce of Huntsville, what we hope is that everyone will bring their campers and canoes and kayaks, call Withrow Springs State Park, rent a place to go up there and hang out for the whole weekend. There'll be a lot of folks there talking floating and canoeing and telling their best stories on whatever stream in Arkansas. And
which, by the way, let me say something about that. Withrow Springs is in the film, and it's a beautiful place.
Oh, I love Withrow Springs.
State Park, and I bet a lot of folks who are listening have never been there. Well, they ought to go there.
Absolutely.
Because it's a gorgeous Ozark park.
It sure is.
It really is.
Definitely.
Larry, if people want to know more about the film?
Well, if you would like a copy, you can get in touch with the U of A Press, University of Arkansas Press. AETN will have its broadcast premiere in August during its August campaign, fundraising campaign. And Robert was asking me where it's going to be for sale. I guess I should ask U of A Press about that.
Okay.
But they're finished now. We've had them for a couple of weeks, so they're out.
All right. John, if people want to know about your releases, your latest CD, or where you'll
be? We're actually on tour right now with my 20th album, which is Vision Seeker. That album is, of course, available everywhere. They can get it on my website, johntwohawks.com. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, everywhere you can find it on the internet.
Robert Swain, Larry Foley, John Two Walks, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
This is wonderful.